Rock.
We would like to pick Seth Rollins!
Number one pick, baby. I'm so excited to once again be working with Stephanie McMahon. This is going to be great, not to mention Mick Foley. Was there ever any doubt? Was there ever any doubt? I don't think so, Tom.
Very first pick is the current and future WWE Champion, Dean Ambrose!
And there it was. The first, I'd say the first properly done WWE draft. Would you agree, Dario Pop Passarelli?
Well, first of all, Big Al, I miss you, man.
I miss you too, man. I miss you. I was trying to do like a cold open, but I think it's good if we've been gone so long. We should probably remind people who we are.
Right, well, they should remind me who I am.
As I said,
it's an age thing.
I'm speaking to right now to Dario Pop Passarelli. I am your host, Alexander K. Lee, aka Big Al. And it's been a while since you've recorded. It's been at least, I want to say 3 months, maybe?
Has it been that long?
It's been a long time. And, you know, I think it's always good that we can find time to get together and do it. Maybe it'll be a seasonal, you know, this is the summer the summer edition of As the Heel Turns from now on.
Feel the heat.
There's plenty to talk about, though, so I'm glad that we found time. Definitely a lot of change in the WWE product. Very exciting time for people to be watching it or to decide to get back into it if you're like us and you've sort of lapsed. Or people who've lapsed even more than us, maybe haven't watched in a few years. Now is definitely the time to switch back on to some WWE programming. There's certainly plenty of it.
There is, and I mean, not only just WWE, but there's plenty of wrestling going on these days all around. And very curious to find out in terms of how WWE runs with their new format. And I think as we go through the different decades of WWE, at least when I'm talking about watching it, we're talking about decades for me, it's always been that. It's not necessarily so much about, you know, what storyline is going on, but what is the WWE? Are they doing good stuff or are they doing bad stuff?
Yeah, and there's so much opportunity for good now. You know, I said this was the first properly done WWE draft. I think I should say it's probably the same way they did it when they first did a draft, something like, 10 years ago, you know, the first time they did the idea and split the brand. It was very exciting, and it was very well done for a period there where they actually did keep the talents on their own shows before, you know, at some point they got tired of that idea. But, yeah, and it looks like they're committed to that idea now, which is good. And unlike some of the other drafts they did, it really was, you know, two teams picking. They've done some drafts in the past where it was just like you get a pick, and then the pick is random. And I'm just like, that's not how drafts work. But again, Vince, you know, Vince McMahon has his own idea of how to run things.
Oh, no, exactly. To me, I don't know if you can say it was done well. The only time you can say it's been done well is when you look back in hindsight, which may not be fair for the WWE, but kudos to them. Product was probably getting a little stale. Might easily translate into why we haven't been watching it for a little while. And not taking anything away from the wrestlers, there's still been very good wrestlers, still quite a number of them that we enjoy watching. It's just, you know, everything that ties it together to enhance it, that storyline, just really hasn't been there. And hopefully this, again, rebirth has an opportunity to create those new storylines and to pique interest once again.
Yeah, and just to go off those comments, Pop, really, we've been in a golden age of in-ring WWE work probably for the last year, maybe the last couple of years. The in-ring product has honestly never been better. On a week-to-week basis, special events, much as we complain about maybe Raw or SmackDown, probably you could pick any, out of the last years, you could pick any random special event and you're going to get at least three or four really good matches on one of those special events / pay-per-views, whatever they want to call them now. So, as you said, it's really the storylines, things around it that have bothered us. But in-ring, it's superb, especially if you include NXT.
Well, I think you not only include NXT, I almost think that you have to say that was the origin of it all. And I know Triple H has his hands in too many pockets and too many different things, being part of, you know, the grand poobahs that used to run Raw and NXT. But, you know, if he is the mastermind behind NXT, then he deserves full credit, because I think a lot of this resurgence in terms of talents are not people that he's developed, but at least people that he stole from in the independent scene. I mean, you can go as far back as from when, you know, the Wyatts and the Shield entered WWE as, you know, part of the turning point, or a Daniel Bryan kind of thing. Again, part of that NXT universe that sort of came up, and grabbed the shoe by the horns.
You could even say the second man who will not be named by WWE, CM Punk, also helped usher that in. Not that they will acknowledge that anytime soon.
No, of course not.
Let's you know, again, we could talk about the state of the business all day, but let's talk about the draft directly. Obviously, the number one pick for Raw, the number one overall pick, Mr. Seth Rollins, and the number one overall pick for SmackDown, Dean Ambrose. No surprises here. I think a lot of people going into the draft were expected these guys to go one and two in some order. Pop, I want to ask, I have to confess, and I have a feeling we'll both be saying this a few times during the show, I did not watch the draft live.
No, neither did I.
So we won't comment too much on the presentation, but definitely the decision making. So I have no problem with Rollins and Ambrose going number one. It just makes sense. So the two of the best wrestlers, Ambrose got the title. It made sense.
Oh, completely. And again, in terms of the brands themselves, made sense Seth Rollins would go to the Raw. Made sense that Dean Ambrose would go to SmackDown.
Who would have been your number one pick if you were on, just say you had the number one overall pick, you were stepping
into
the
number one overall pick with nothing else to do? I have two number one picks, unfortunately.
Okay, who would they be? So let's say you, okay, Raw and SmackDown then, yeah.
Okay, so for SmackDown, I would pick in terms of somebody who I feel is a bit more artistic in terms of presentation, I would have to go with Kevin Owens.
Ah, yes. The people's choice.
He's done everything to me that he can entertain me in the ring, outside of the ring, at all times. And it's, again, we've mentioned it before years ago or months ago, the little things that he does are just so exquisite. And for Raw, I'd have to pick...
SmackDown?
No, that was for SmackDown.
Oh, that was for SmackDown.
I went to SmackDown first. For Raw, I would pick John Cena.
Interesting.
Reason why?
Because he can't wrestle.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course he can wrestle. I just think that he is by far the biggest product and brand on his own. Not only in terms of how he controls the crowd when he's in the ring there, but in terms of, I'm looking from a business perspective, t-shirt sales, what he does for kids, he still does for things. I think he is the most popular wrestler, and I would want him to lead my flagship show.
First of all, I just want to thank whoever groups of people put together the Wikipedia page for the WWE draft, because it is really well done. So I can see here, Kevin Owens, he was picked 18th overall, and was the 11th. He wasn't even a top 10 pick of Raw. He was the 11th Raw pick. But obviously...
Horrendous.
Obviously, it fits his character so well for him to go down so low. So, you know, I the way they booked that, I thought was excellent. Very good. Very good choice for his character.
Chip on his shoulder. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
He can't. He's the kind of villain. He can't get what he wants. Otherwise, he stops being a villain. You know what I mean? You can never get what he wants. He's the coyote. You know, he's the right. Sami Zayn's the Roadrunner. He's the coyote. He's always trying to catch that. He's always trying to catch that Roadrunner, and maybe someday he will. But so I the good choice is Pop. For me, I can't argue with Seth Rollins number one overall. If I were Stephanie McMahon / Mick Foley, definitely I would have picked Seth Rollins. I think he's a total package. I still think, even with injury and a lot of other people stepping up, Sami Zayn, Owen, Cesaro, I still think Seth is the best in-ring guy. AJ Styles coming in, you can make an argument for him as well. I still think Seth is the best in-ring guy. It just amazes me. I just love watching him. For SmackDown, we've talked about this off-screen, but I don't care. I'm just going to say it. My number one pick would have been Alexa Bliss.
Surprise.
I don't care. I'm throwing it out there. She is the female. She will one day be the female John Cena.
Look at me. I am the epitome of what the future is supposed to look like. I am the new era, okay?
I'm just saying. She's got a really decent, basic heel character right now.
Never bliss me off.
That they helped develop in NXT after she started off as a very, like, bubblegum, fairy princess, cheerleader, babyface, which was excellent in its own way, but obviously not a character that had any mass, would not have any mass appeal. So, you know, now she's playing that that classic kind of tough manager, sneaky manager, and she's good at it. I mean, it really helped her a lot. It really helped her grow a lot. So obviously I'm exaggerating by saying she would be my number one pick.
If you realize that the number one pick would have no way, shape, or form getting you closer to Alexa Bliss.
I don't like where this is going.
Then who would you
pick? First of all, she's dating a very nice young man in WWE NXT tag team performer Murphy. And I wish them nothing but the best. In fact, I hope that their relationship can survive this move, because Blake and Murphy did not get called up, unfortunately.
That's true.
So fingers crossed for those two crazy kids. I hope things work out.
And interjection here.
If this is about Paige and Alberto Del Rio, I'm going to be very upset. I'm wearing a Paige shirt right now.
Oh, yeah, you are. I forgot. Yeah. No, but yes, it does have something to do with that, because Paige and Alberto Del Rio also not on the same brand.
Uh-huh.
Is this a bit of a WWE statement saying, Lana, Rusev, you ruined it for everybody? I'm just wondering.
Some people are speculating that the whole Paige Del Rio thing is a WWE Divas. Sorry, what's that show? I'm sorry, Divas.
Total Divas.
Totally Divas, thank you. Total Divas storyline.
See, this is where we miss Connor.
This is where we miss Connor. No, he would have picked that up right
away. Been on it right away.
Oh, we didn't even mention, sorry, Connor Dorian not in the booth today, but you know, he'll join us again soon, I'm sure. Some people are saying the Paige Del Rio thing is for TV. It's very possible. That's kind of how messed up this is the last remnants of the reality era, you know, Total Divas. So
let's hope so.
I guess let's hope so. I don't know. Maybe they're in love. I don't know what to say. So
No. Let's hope it's the last remnants of the reality.
yeah.
I mean, if they truly love each other, I mean, go ahead.
But yeah, I hope this is, you're right. I hope they're not sending a message to everyone because they seem to be doubling down now on the Rusev-Lana relationship at Battleground. She's wearing her new attire is like a wedding dress.
Very hot wedding dress.
which I think is, again, hilarious. Like, Rusev and Lana are the most underrated, like, comedic characters. And just unappreciated in general. I love them both.
Again, you know, they would be in my top 10 for sure. And they would have to be a package deal, just like a tag team.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, the diamond flashing the eye when she's in the ring. And she just, what? She has her 1 minute intro, and that's all we get of Lana.
Yeah, her accent, by the way, is getting so bad. I'm wondering if she's doing it on purpose because they're going to phase it out at some point. I can't tell if it's on purpose. It was always bad. It was, like, really bad at Battleground. I'm like, man, is she even trying?
you know what I want to see? I want to see Rusev take a page out of Brock Lesnar, and he'll become the British Columbian brute. How's that one for you?
Our Canadian... A gem of Canada, Brock Lesnar. Brock, please sort out your PED situation. I don't want to throw out any accusations, but let's hope he's the highest profile Canadian athlete to test positive since Ben Johnson. I don't think that's an exaggeration at all.
Yeah, I know, but when did he all of a sudden become from Canada?
He's from Saskatchewan. I don't know what you're talking about.
yeah, and let's with the Olympics around the corner, let's not bring up bad memories.
Goodness
of Ben
gracious.
Johnson.
Brock went fifth overall to Raw and eighth overall. Would you have taken Brock in the top 10 in total? Let's assume you're the GM of both Raw and SmackDown. Would you have used a top 10 pick on him?
For sure, because I still think that, you know, regardless of the PEDs, this is wrestling after all. You know, if I'm looking at it from a business perspective, who is the biggest draw?
He's arguably number one still. Yeah.
Still, right?
Like, no one has that mainstream appeal as him.
Well,
nobody.
I mean, like I said, John Cena has the whole thing right behind
him. He can't get the pay-per-view buys. Not that they have pay-per-view anymore, but when they had pay-per-view, he could not have the pay-per-view numbers that Brock could bring in.
Exactly, because it's something fresh. So, yeah, I mean, definitely he should have been in the top 10. He's earned it, even though he's made limited appearances. Right? And I don't have a problem with that. I think it enhances his character. It keeps things fresh. The only thing that I probably would have asked of him is if we do wind up putting the belt around his waist, then yeah, he has to be there more consistent. So it would have to be creative in terms of coming up with storylines to explain why he's not the champion and therefore can take these absences.
Yeah, he's a very difficult character to book, right? At the same time, the reward is so high when you do it properly. WWE apparently, I think today, issued a statement or yesterday that they won't be doing anything about his failed, you know, he failed a test from the United States Anti-Doping Agency, which was related to his return to the UFC. They're not going to address it.
Fake fighting show?
Yeah, exactly. The fake fighting, yeah.
Thanks.
So he's going to be able to perform at SummerSlam and wrestle Randy Orton, which is a match I'm looking forward to. I know some people are saying, like, oh, it's kind of out of nowhere and both guys are a bit past their, you know, past their prime, but they really, I don't think they've, if they've wrestled before, definitely no one remembers. So it feels like a super fresh matchup, possibly a first time ever matchup. And Randy Orton has the kind of believable presence and offense to actually, like, challenge Lesnar.
Well, I mean, you can say it in 8 words or less, right? RKO out of nowhere.
RKO out of nowhere, right?
And yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to it again because it's, you know, yes, there's been no storyline developed behind it. But for two veterans like this, it's not needed. It might be the start of something. And we'll see where it goes from there.
I do want to touch on it a little bit, though. So he's doing an appeal now in his other drug tests. If it turns out that he did not necessarily knowingly, but was negligent in his, the supplements that he put in his body and does end up, let's say USADA suspends him for 2 years, you know, essentially branding him as a cheater. Do you feel WWE has to address that? Or as long as he's up to par with their wellness policy, then it doesn't matter?
When you have a situation of WWE, again, we know the results are fake. This is not about, you know, a level playing field. This is a performance. It's a show. I believe that the wellness program that the WWE has is more for the wrestlers themselves to protect them rather than to protect against cheating or unbalanced fair play or anything of that nature. So as long as Brock is being taken care of and, you know, not falling into any bad patterns or anything of that nature, then I'm fine, you know, with them not doing anything or doing something on a much smaller scale. The one thing that WWE needs to protect from is the results of what these steroids can do. And we saw the absolute worst possible case scenario happened, you know.
With He Who Shall Not Be Named.
With He Who Shall Not Be Named,
yes.
Right?
The original He Who Shall Not Be Named, not CM Punk, the other one.
And that's what you need to protect from. So whether he took a little PED, I don't really care, as long as it doesn't lead to anything else of that nature.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. A lot of people also, so the thing with the USADA, again, I don't want to get into this too much, but there are people, it's a pretty new program that's working with the UFC now. They've only been working with USADA for less than a year now. And some people are wondering, is the testing and is the banned substance list and is there procedures, are they too, not necessarily too strict, but maybe they don't quite have the proper protocol and technology to catch like real cheating, and maybe they're getting a few too many positives that like you said, maybe these are supplements that are not performance enhancing per se, or, you know, not endangering their health, but because they happen to be on this list that they've, you know, they've compiled the initial list, that's why people are getting in trouble. So that's, the list is definitely going to change in the next couple of years, and who knows, maybe we could even make an argument that the WWE's wellness policy is ahead of this USADA testing. We don't know. USADA testing with the UFC is so new. So I'm with you. I'm sort of fine with Lesnar performing. I don't think the WWE should pull him off, and let's hope like you said, it doesn't lead to any further health issues.
To add to that, you know, in terms of being too strict or not too strict, to use one of my favorite quotes now from one Mr. Enzo Amore, there'll be haters, and there's always going to be people that are going to be arguing whether it's too much or too little. I'd rather have that than to have the most corrupt organization in the world, now that FIFA has been, the IOC, just go, oh, by the way, all you sports individual sports federations, you take care of it, even though we found like 400 different sanctions against the Russians.
Please never do that Enzo Amore impression again.
I know, I'm so horrible at it, but I just love the word haters.
We got a couple of haters.
It's haters. It's haters. We got a couple of haters.
See? That.
Okay, just work on it. You know, you can do it again. Just work on it. Okay, we'll go down the draft a little bit. The second overall pick for Raw was Charlotte, the top woman picked. Good, very good choice. The second pick for SmackDown was AJ Styles. And then the third pick for Raw and the fifth overall was the first person to be picked from NXT, Mr. Finn Balor. Now, let's take this opportunity to talk about Finn and also talk a little bit about what happened on Raw. I know you didn't get a chance to watch it, but it was essentially the Finn Balor show.
Basically, validating him being the fifth selection.
Yeah. Now, so the question I'm going to ask you is, and we can look at both sides of it, is this too much too soon for him? So just to recap briefly, on Raw, they announced that they're going to have a new title belt, which they're calling, let me get your thoughts on this as well. What do you think of the name of they're calling their belt, the Universal title, the WWE Universal title? That's the Raw belt.
Dumb.
Why? It's better than World. It's dumb. Universal. Why is it dumb?
It's dumb.
I need explanations. I need reasons. Give me three reasons why it's dumb.
Because it doesn't mean anything.
Good. One.
The title should be, and I'm only going to give you two, it should be the Raw Heavyweight Champion.
Why?
Because he's the champion of Raw.
No, now he's the champion of the universe. It's even better. Raw is just a TV show. Now you're the champion of the universe. Now, I agree, they may not have the jurisdiction to make that kind of call. There's probably other planets and other, you know, sub-pocket dimensions that will have an issue with this. But
stop.
Until they come up.
Stop there. We get the point.
It's a great title. That's the point.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with something that WWE Corporate did. Think about that. This is where I'm at in my life. So anyway, they introduced the WWE Universal title, which is the Raw title, essentially. And They announced that it's going to be competed for at SummerSlam. Seth Rollins was already given a bye to that match. You know, Stephanie McMahon says,
Sorry, I missed the beginning of the show.
Yes, she says Seth is essentially the uncrowned champion. We're going to put him. He gets this automatic spot. And then tonight, eight wrestlers are going to compete in two separate Fatal 4-Ways. And then the winner of those two 4-Ways will face off in the main event. So Finn Balor won the first one, beating Cesaro, Rusev, and Kevin Owens. Roman Reigns won the second one, beating Sami Zayn, Sheamus, and Jericho. And then Finn Balor beats Roman Reigns clean in the main event. No interference, no shenanigans. Clean 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. And in what I thought was a very, very, very good match. Is this too much too soon for this guy?
I think you're asking the wrong question. And let
me
answer.
Are you Roddy Pipering me?
Let me answer.
Are you Roddy Pipering me?
No, I'm not Roddy Piper. I should, though, after you saying that it was a great name for a tag team, for a title belt. The question I think you should be asking, number one, is this more to do with Roman Reigns than it does Finn Balor? I think the work he's done there in terms of being the champion of NXT for the longest time, I know that he hasn't been recently, but he has been there for champion as well. He has helped carry the show. He's done that kind of work. I think this was more of a message to Roman Reigns because of his failed drug test, mm-hmm. and saying, you know what? WWE's done this in the past where they've taken a wrestler and said, you messed up in one way, shape, or form, a.k.a. Triple H, Rusev, and we're going to punish you for a little while. And I think that's what this was more than anything else. And if you're not going to have Roman Reigns in there, because I think Roman Reigns made the most sense in terms of having his battle with Seth Rollins, then you got to pick somebody else. I mean, there is, you know, I thought Cesaro would have been a good pick, but I like Cesaro. And there's a couple of other people, too, from the Raw roster. But I have no problems with Finn Balor going up there. And we'll see what he does.
And immediately becoming the number one contender and beating Roman Reigns clean. What do you think? Isn't that a little nutty? Isn't that like, I know there's a point where you want to give the fans what they want. Is this possibly catering to too small a subset of fans? You know what I mean? Because, okay, so I'm watching the show, and obviously the live crowd, I think this was
I think you just answered that question right there.
Did I?
Yeah. Why is it a small subset of fans?
It's like the it's people a small who watch NXT.
Exactly. What does this do now? Wait a second. This guy comes out of nowhere, and he's going to be the number one contender? Maybe I have to get the WWE channel
the $9.99
for $9.99 or $11.99 in Canada to watch NXT because look at the stuff that's coming off. I think it works on so many different levels. And again, to use another old wrestler, the bottom line is the bottom line. And how do you increase profits?
That's a very good point, actually. And I think it's worth the risk as well. Like you said, you know, the risk of alienating maybe people who aren't familiar with him. I think it's worth it. So they were in Pittsburgh yesterday, and the Pittsburgh crowd, again, all these live crowds now seem to be pretty into NXT, and they know who everyone is. Doesn't matter where you go. Maybe there's a few cities who like don't cheer for anything, but so they definitely were into it. But I sensed a hesitance. I sensed definitely some lack of familiarity with some of the older fans. I would say like older fans, like I don't know, older fans, and definitely some of the kids.
Why you look at me when you? I'm just...
I didn't. I looked at my own graying hands, and. Some of the younger fans, I think, definitely also didn't know who he was. So I hope that doesn't deter, you know, Vince McMahon and Triple H from this path. Another reason to justify why to do it now is, do you know how old Finn Balor is, if you had to guess?
No, I do not.
What would you guess?
I would say late 20s.
He's 35 years old. So it's almost like if you're not going to push him now.
Then when are you going to do it?
When are you going to do it? Because even Styles is 37. And Styles, you know, so they said, look, let's put Styles in the main event upper mid card right now. Everyone knows who he is. He's been a main event upper mid carder.
Styles has a history, mm-hmm. a huge history.
Yeah,
much more than Finn Balor. Yeah, different scenario.
It's similar though because really, the WWE didn't care about Styles until he took over in Japan, which is what Balor did the same thing. All right. So yeah, Styles definitely a bigger name, but I think Balor's getting the same treatment as far as they got to look at this guy's age and they got to say, okay, we could wait a couple of years maybe, but he's very hot right now. And again, he's only going to get older. And you know, him and Styles are both in amazing shape. I could see them having good WWE careers into their early 40s for sure. Like, no problem. But, you know, like any show business thing, there's just that stigma attached. People see the age and they're like, oh, you know, this guy can't. Like, I think Batista, I think when he kicked off, I think he lied about his age for his first few years. I think when WWE, when he first, like, started really making a name for himself, he was already 38. And I think he told them he was 35 or something, 34, 35. And they didn't find out until like a year later that he was actually 38 years old. And it shouldn't matter. Like, it shouldn't matter. The guy looked, had the friggin' fantastic look. But, you know, there's just that fear. There's that fear that you'll be thought of as past your prime. And so maybe now is the time to push him.
The only thing I look in terms of from a negative sense, because there is a cost, right? I mean, pushing somebody like Finn Balor, there is a cost. And to me, it comes on to other wrestlers, like I said, like a Cesaro, like a Dolph Ziggler. Wrestlers that, man, they can wrestle. They're good. Why aren't they getting a push? And you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, the list goes on in terms of people that have been in the WWE for a little bit or a long time. And that's the price you have to pay, unfortunately.
Yeah. Right? They have so much talent now. I was just thinking about that today. I'm thinking about, man, there's so many guys outside of the WWE that I want to see them pick up. Look at all the guys they're picking up in the Cruiserweight Classic. Like, there's these guys who are huge names in other countries, huge names on the indie scene. And when they come up to the main roster, there's only going to be so many spots. And that's not even mentioning one of the hottest free agents out there now. I think he's a free agent now, Ricochet. You know, Ricochet or Prince Puma from Lucha Underground. What's going to happen when he comes in? Like, there's only so many main event and upper mid-card spots. So, yeah, it's absolutely right to be concerned about, like you said, some of these people who get lost in the shuffle. Some of these very, very talented people who, they're just not going to get that shot. You know, maybe that window was barely open for them as it was, and now it's closed. So, a good problem to have for the WWE. Not a great problem for some of the wrestlers we mentioned, unfortunately.
Right. Although, again, you know, a golden age of wrestling, there are other opportunities for them at least.
Yeah.
You know, once WCW went away, there was a lull, you know, no competition. But we have so many, like you mentioned, Prince Puma, Ricochet, New Japan, you can get over here now to watch. What's the one out of California again? Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground
is coming out. There's the independent shows.
Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, our own Smash Wrestling, of course. Shout out.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities for sure. The next few picks, this is where some of the big guns went. Roman Reigns, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton. So it was interesting. It's they intentionally put them behind guys like Balor and Styles and Charlotte and Ambrose and Rollins, but also still acknowledged, we know you expect to see these names. These are still like our, you know, our breadwinners for the most part. So that was interesting. Though that Lesnar and Orton would both go so high when they're like technically kind of both in the part-time stage of their career. Interesting. New Day going to Raw. Two big tag teams going to Raw. New Day, of course, and Enzo Amore and Cass, who had one of the most memorable segments of the weekend when Enzo cut a scintillating promo before their six-man tag match alongside John Cena versus the club of AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson.
I've watched some of the promos leading up to it, and they did a fantastic job there too. But yeah, what a promo on Battleground.
It was hilarious. Enzo, you know, I've always been a little bit skeptical of him. I think I agree with the sort of traditional sense of thought that Big Cass is the one that will one day go on to have a singles career, just based on his look and size. And he needs
Enzo is Marty Jannetty,
essentially. Except, you know, again, the mic skills are incredible. Like, if anything, him and Cass, I think, should never be separated. He should just at some point become Cass's manager. Not that he's not a good wrestler, but he is that classic, you know, I would say more than Jannetty. He's more the like Ricky Morton, you know, like the Rock and Roll Express. He's like a classic Ricky Morton type guy. Like, he just takes a beating so well. He's really good at it. Maybe it's the hair. Maybe it's the baggy clothes he wears. Every time he's getting thrown around.
Spike like, Dudley.
Man, yeah, exactly. Spike Dudley. You're like, this guy's just getting straight destroyed in there. And you bring in Big Cass for 2 minutes of action, and that's it. He gets all the glory, and it's wonderful.
Enzo's got two jobs, to talk and then to make the tag.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm a little sad they got separated from Carmella. I'm worried about Carmella as well. You know, Carmella and Alexa Bliss from NXT both got called up to SmackDown. Carmella's a good talent. She has a lot of potential, but it was a strange choice to me. I think that maybe they don't want her to interfere right now with what Enzo and Cass have going on. Enzo and Cass have a very good thing going on, and they just don't need that character to water that act down. But I do worry about her.
Yeah, again, not too familiar in terms of with the women from NXT, and number one, like, you can only go to the well so often. Like, you know, they've already depleted NXT of so many great, phenomenal women wrestlers, all right, that now they brought up, what, another half dozen more?
So they also brought up Nia Jax, who I like a lot. Everyone's saying she's too raw, which is definitely true, but I think she's too raw anyway. But I think Monday Night Raw is a good place for her to learn. she just has obviously a unique look. You know, she's a plus-sized woman, which is very rare in the WWE these days.
And beautiful.
Yeah, she's quite good-looking, actually. And again, she's just different, and she's very believable. She had a nice little squash match on Raw, last like 2 minutes, so that was fine. And what else? Oh yeah, Alexa Bliss and Carmella also got called up.
And then you had like recently Dana Brooke just come up too.
Yes.
So that's another four women compared to the three or four that already came up previously. Mm-hmm. If you want to include Paige with Charlotte and Sasha Banks and the orange hair Irish last kicker
Becky Lynch.
Thank you.
She's more than just her hair, Pop.
No, I said the orange hair.
I know,
Irish last.
She's more than just her hair. It's like all you care about is her hair. She's more than just a.
I would pay.
This is gonna get weird.
Top freaking dollar for Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks in a hair versus hair match. That would be gold.
Your fixation on this hair will be the end of you.
But at any rate, but like, how can you keep going to NXT, taking all these great winners, and above it all, leave Bayley behind, because we haven't even mentioned her name.
She did appear on Battleground in a one-time, what is meant to be a one-time thing, but she obviously, presumably, will be up before the end of the year for good, I'm assuming.
I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is you can't keep going to NXT and taking all their top women talent. You have to leave something there to help at least the younger women come up and somebody to keep showing them the ropes, right?
I was about to say, well, the thing is, I think once she's done with her business with Asuka, I don't think there's any reason for her to stay down there. But, yeah, essentially it'll be Asuka's the only real veteran. I mean, and veteran as in the like in the business in total. She's still a WWE, like very new to the WWE, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be weird. You're right. It'll be weird if Bayley goes up. It'll be Asuka and then some of the, like, I know who they have, but, yeah, no one else that they've really featured prominently, so... You know, the males, it won't be a problem because I assume like half the guys from the Cruiserweight Classic that don't, you know, necessarily win it.
We'll fill in.
They're going to get signed by NXT.
No worries there whatsoever.
So no worries there. But you're right. As far as female talent goes, there's a lot of great female talent out there in the indie scenes for sure. But it looks like it is going to take a while for them to build it up to like how strong it once was when it was like Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Becky. Like they were all down there. Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
The plus side, though, is now you have all these women on Raw and SmackDown. How much time are they going to get? And are we going to finally, I know I keep saying this, have a viable women's division? I know. I just scared you with that one.
Well, I just don't know how you can. Unless having there's, I think, 7 women on Raw and 6 on SmackDown. And I think that's including the injured Naomi. So right now there's 5 women on SmackDown. Or it's the other way around. It's like 6 women on SmackDown and now 6 on Raw. It doesn't make any sense to have them be exclusive to their brand. So I don't know why they did that. If anything, I know it's a risky thing to do, but Raw essentially touting themselves as they're going to be the Cruiserweight exclusive brand.
Raw?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So why couldn't SmackDown get the women, you know, get all the women? There's just that roster just isn't deep enough to split it in two. So I don't know why they went that way. Maybe they'll figure something out, but I can only see Becky wrestle Natalya so many times. I'm already tired of it. I mean, they had a decent match at Battleground, but I mean, I don't know what else to say about that.
They fought at Battleground?
I know, right? Yeah, I'm sure you probably skipped over it.
Oops.
It felt very much like a Raw match. So, anyway, we don't want to go too much about the draft. Let's talk a little bit about Battleground, you know, since we just mentioned it, where Natalya and Becky did have a match. Let's talk about Sasha and Bayley. So Bayley's debut was very well done, I thought. I love the wavy tube men. And I'll never get tired of it. I thought the wavy tube men looked fantastic. At one point, one of them got blown. I don't know if this always happens, but one of them got blown down to her level. She just like smacked it. So I don't know if that always happens. I admit I haven't been watching enough NXT, but
she puts on a great show.
She put on a great show. It was a good short match. Obviously, just meant to showcase Bayley and you know get a nice pop, and also to give Sasha the win so she could progress.
Yeah, exactly.
And face Charlotte the next night. Wyatt Family defeated the New Day, which I thought was a decent match. Wyatt Family broken up. Braun Strowman, you know, we'll keep jumping around because I guess there's no reason to, you know, we've been jumping around a lot already. Braun Strowman on Raw had a hilarious squash match against, people are gonna kill me for not remembering this guy's name because he's suddenly the most famous jobber in the world. I believe it's Jim Ellsworth. I don't know if you saw pictures of this guy, Pop.
I saw him, and because I was looking around and going, why are they interviewing somebody before a match?
Right. A jobber.
In the ring, yeah. And then I went, I have a chance. As long as I have these two hands, I have a chance. No, you don't.
I hope that they're aware that they just accidentally created, like, the next big star. You know what I mean? Like, this is all going to sound very insulting, but I'm sure this man is very aware of why he's booked and why he, you know, got this call. Like, he is a very not physically imposing fellow. Is that fair to say?
I like my chances against him.
Yeah. But he's, honestly, you could not make a better looking jobber. He has no chin. I've never seen someone who, like, physically has no chin.
You know which wrestler he reminds me of? Yeah, I did say wrestler.
Ahead. Yes.
Gilbert.
Yeah, but Gilbert at least, like, had a beard. You know?
Beard certainly.
That's all
helps
I got
fight.
For you. This guy, man, I'm sure he's just some local talent they picked up. But boy, if you don't think that fans suddenly want to see more of this cat, you are mistaken. Apparently he's become a minor, very minor. You know how the wrestling internet community is. They'll pick up on any dumb thing and suddenly blow it up.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, don't bring that. That's just so sad.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I thought it was hilarious that they used a local talent, like an old-fashioned jobber, both for him and for Nia Jax. So we've mentioned this before. If you're going to do a three-hour show, squash matches are okay.
Yeah.
It just saves you from, because essentially, you know, they kept doing squash matches anyway, but they would use, like, Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, like guys who, Heath Slater, guys who actually have, like, talent and are actually assets that can do their own thing. And
who, one of the four social outcasts who he had a match.
Curtis Axel.
Yes. What do they call him? Because he was the last one picked?
He's the mystery, much like the NFL, he's the mystery irrelevant.
Mystery irrelevant, yes. Yeah. And he squashed Neville.
Was squashed by Neville.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine. But I like the Mr. Irrelevant thing. Though Heath Slater's the real Mr. Irrelevant because he wasn't picked at all. So I don't know. Maybe that's where that feud is going. I'm not sure. But yeah, either way, I think it's just another thing that they seem to be doing as part of this new generation, acknowledging that, look, if you want to get people like Nia Jax and Braun Strowman over, look, they're very limited as workers so far. That's just a matter of fact. Again, I quite like Nia Jax. I think Strowman's okay. And the only way you're going to get them over is, one, again, showcasing their strengths, which is, you know, their massive strength and size, and hiding their weaknesses while eventually putting them in matches with better workers and building them up that way. So I'm not saying Nia Jax is going to be women's champion someday. I'm not saying Braun Strowman's going to be the world champion someday. But this is how you find out, you know, this is how you make these guys usable acts. Like, even Rusev. Like, Rusev, I mean, yeah, he came up knocking off actual names. Like, he squashed the New Day multiple times, Zack Ryder. You could have replaced those with regular jobbers, you know, local jobbers, and it would have the same effect. And now, yep. look how far this guy's come along, right? Ryback got the local jobber treatment, and he was white hot for a while, you know, before his character totally just, you know, got misguided, and I don't even know what he's up to now. But yeah, another plus for Raw, for the WWE, another good reason to look for is definitely the inclusion of squash matches again.
I have to agree with you there.
Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens had what is people are calling a match of the year. It was a great match. It's probably their last match for a while, I hope, anyway. You know, let this be the they're going to feud somewhere down the road again anyway, of course. But this is essentially the
they're
feud.
They're both on the same brand, though, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, they can't get away from each other.
I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. But, again, a fantastic match. And they each pulled their spots. Like, well done. They put on a great show, told a great story. I worry a bit about Kevin Owens, in that I hope he's not caged into a certain character type. Because I think the only way that you're going to survive in the WWE these days is being able to reinvent yourself. John Cena's done it. Triple H has done it. Shawn Michaels has done it. And I'm not talking drastically. Even The Undertaker, who... So one thing I worry about him is if he's always going to be this kind of heel with the chip on his shoulder that we talked about earlier. And can he expand on that? And that's the one thing that I still need to see from him before I classify him as the superstar I think he is.
I think for sure. I think he can easily he can easily do an anti-authority figure character. As tired as I think that storyline is, if you ever want to have him go up against Stephanie McMahon, it is no problem. Whoever happens to be an authority figure in the future, hopefully not Stephanie McMahon, because I'm so tired of her. But he transitions into that well. I think he's going to show a lot of versatility. I think the fact that he can be serious and he can be funny is a huge asset for him. He can wrestle so many different styles. My beef with him is, man, and I know people are going to kill me for this because it's the way a lot of these main event style WWE matches are now. But man, the guy has got too many finishers. A lot of the wrestlers now have too many finishers. Like, man, you can't have like a friggin' frog splash, torture rack into a spinning neck breaker, pop-up power bomb, like springboard, like moonsault stuff. Like, you just can't, you know, maybe it's just the way that wrestling is now. I can't get into it. Like, when I see Roman Reigns hit someone with like a power bomb, like a double power bomb, and the person that kicks out, which Finn Balor did on Monday, I'm like, oh man, I gotta stretch my disbelief a little bit, which is fine. It's wrestling. I know it's stupid to complain about stuff like that. It's stupid to draw that line between like, oh, what's realistic and what's not realistic in wrestling when the whole thing is ridiculous. But
well, yeah. I think what's happening now is it took me a long time to move away from, you know, heel and babyface. What's proper heel? What's proper babyface? And all these old school terminology that you're right. Everybody does have four or five finishers. And at some point, finishers are you win your match with it, your big move. That becomes stale after a while. Like this now, you know, we really don't know which finisher is going to be used to win the match. And to me, that adds a new element. And it takes a little while to get used to. But I think it's for the better.
The thing I have to say about that, though, is you do know which finisher is going to finish the match because the other finishers never work. Sami Zayn has literally like never pinned anyone with a blue thunder bomb, not once. It's not a convincing near fall. People are like, oh, it's not a convincing near fall if it never pins anyone. Kevin Owens hitting someone with a frog splash is not a convincing near fall. It never pins anyone. That's the opposite of a near fall.
Well, to me, I look at it, you know, like he's used a pop-up power bomb. That hasn't always got the pin either.
Right.
Most of the time it does, but yes. It doesn't all the time. So I think if they can use that and, you know, tries to pop a power bomb, doesn't work, wins with a frog splash, that to me would be, you know, you get to see all those spots as a fan paying your money at the show, but it's, you know, in what order they happen kind of thing.
Oh, I agree. It just never happens. Like that's what bothers me is that they have all these finishers and yet it seems to be the same move every time. And this is my message from Michael Cole, who I'm sure is going to listen to this. It's probably because I just watched the shows. You know, I watched Raw and Battleground quite closely back to back. And every time Reigns lifts someone up for the sort of in the crucifix position over his head, Cole's like, oh my God, is he going for the razor's edge? And it's like, he's not going for the razor's edge. He never does the razor's edge. He always does it into a sit out powerbomb. Cole, it's not the razor's edge.
Roman Reigns with Finn Balor up high. Razor's edge, perhaps?
It's not the razor's edge. We're going to put that in the description.
We got to put that notes.
And next week, you know he's going to hit someone with a razor's edge now. And Cole's going to lose it. Cole's like, I knew it. I told you. I told everyone.
I was right. After 51 times.
He was setting up for the razor's edge. Just needed the right situation. But yeah, Battleground was a good show. I thought the main event was good. Again, another clean ending. I can't name that many matches that had any sort of interference. The Miz and Darren Young, which, by the way, I thought was a perfectly serviceable match. I know the crowd was dead for it because it was sort of in between a bunch of stuff, but that was a perfectly serviceable match. I'm quite enjoying Bob Backlund's antics. I'm not going to lie. I was always a big fan of his old, like, freak out, looking at his hands thing. And now, like, Darren Young sort of taking that. So maybe I'm just being sentimental, but I enjoyed that. And
I was okay with it.
Yeah, I was well, you know, I'm you've turned me into a Miz supporter. You know, I wasn't a Miz fan before, but I understand the function he serves now. And again, I still believe, like, I think Darren Young is kind of getting over a little bit slowly. And I think Miz is going to be a big part of that. I know they've really only had like been involved for like a few weeks, but if Darren Young gets over, I think Miz is going to be a huge help.
Yeah, and I honestly think that Miz hasn't even turned on, right? Because Miz right now is about him in terms of his character, and I think he's going to, once this whole thing works out with him and Darren Young, and it progresses a little bit, then we'll see the true Miz character help Darren Young get over. And yeah, the kudos to Miz. And it's kind of nice to see his wife beside him too.
She looked amazing at Battleground.
Sure, yeah, usually looks amazing.
She looks amazing in general, yes.
Yeah, that's
Monday Night Raw, the other one thing we glossed over.
Well, I don't want to be sexist here, but she does look a little bit, just a tiny bit better than Backlund. So
Backlund is, man, how old is he now? He's looking a little rough at times, I will say. Those suspenders don't quite fit like they used to.
No, they don't.
Sorry, Bob. Monday Night Raw, speaking of powerful women, amazing women.
Seeing Maryse in suspenders. Never mind. Sorry.
Speaking of powerful, amazing women, so we sort of glossed over it, but Sasha Banks did become the women's champion on Raw in a very, very good match with Charlotte. Some people were saying it was the best women's match they'd ever seen. I thought that was a bit of hyperbole. I think many of the multi-women matches in NXT were better, and definitely both Sasha Banks-Bayley matches, I would put.
I was about to say, yeah, Sasha Banks was in the best female match ever.
I think she's been in four of the top four.
But yeah, exactly, and well-deserved, right?
She had a great match.
And loved the reaction afterwards. Loved the fans. Congratulations to them, and you know, you deserved it, and I think she became quite emotional about it.
Yes.
And yeah, loved it.
Allow me to be the skeptic here. I worry about her character, because her character is supposed to be, she's really treading a fine line right now between sort of the, you know, it's impossible for her to be a heel now because people love her too much. I get that, right? She can't be that heel character and act like she doesn't care about the fans because they love her so much. It wouldn't make any sense. So she's going to have to tweak it a little bit. She's going to tweak the gimmick a little bit because she can't play that kind of arrogant, cocky character, and it doesn't fit with this suddenly with like the genuine emotional person that she lets out whenever she, like when she sees Bayley and when she wins a title. It definitely feels like two different characters. I think there's a big disconnect there. So, you know, I almost have the same concerns for her that I have for Balor, just that like they're I don't know if they're ready to carry the load. You know, it's certainly worth finding out, and really, I guess Charlotte had held the title for some time. There was no reason to keep stringing it along. I mean, maybe you could have waited for SummerSlam, but what's the point, right? So, happy for the win, but skeptical.
I agree with you. The only thing that I look at right now is how well I think she's much better as a heel than she is a face.
I agree, yeah.
Right? And that's your whole point. Except right now, there aren't very many viable faces.
Especially on Raw. I'm trying to think on Raw who the females are on Raw now. That could be faces. I don't think there's anyone besides. I think she's the only face.
That's what. Like even let's say the whole entire women's division, including SmackDown, you have Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm. Paige. I think she's a face, but she's been off screen for a while, so who knows what she'll be when she comes back. Right. Alicia Fox, who's just both. Depends what day it is. If it's Tuesday, she's a face. If it's Wednesday, she's a heel. You know.
And she hasn't been involved in anything that I've recognized over the last 3-4 weeks.
The always underrated Summer Rae, who is again neither. They kind of just bring her out when they need her to be a face. She's a face. When they need her to be a heel, she's a heel. They don't really care.
I mean, technically, to me, Summer and Alicia are jobbers.
Oh, I think I say the same. I'm like they are kind of. They do kind of serve the same function.
But they're jobbers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, there's only really two faces, and yet on the heel side, now you got Charlotte, you got Natalya, Dana Brooks, Nia Jax. I mean, the list, Alexa list, the list just goes on and on and on.
Even Marie, we've got to mention, drafted to SmackDown. Good for her.
So, yeah, they really need to get some faces out there in terms of women, and we'll see how she goes along, and hopefully she can carry to a certain degree, and eventually switch back to her normal self, and then people can love her, hate to love her again.
I assume
love to hate her again, whatever.
Yeah. I assume she'll have a rematch with Charlotte at SummerSlam. I think that makes sense. And then I wouldn't mind seeing her move into a program with Nia Jax. I think you have Nia Jax squash people for the next, you know, 3 weeks or however it is until SummerSlam. And let them have a short program. Nothing too long, but something that I think, again, it's a different kind of opponent for Sasha. Sasha's a really good wrestler. She would really be able to work with Nia. If you saw any of Bayley's matches with Nia Jax, again, yeah, Nia is somewhat limited in what she can do, but when you put her in there with someone who's as mobile and as talented and as good at selling as like a Sasha or Bayley, she can look like $1 million. So I wouldn't mind seeing them have a title match sooner rather than later.
I think it's something that can be stretched out over a few weeks. Like I said, like, you know, have Sasha wrestle somebody else and Nia Jax come in and squash her after a match.
Yeah, post-match.
Like, exactly. You know, have do that a couple of times.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Again, I know neither of us got a chance to watch it. The new number one contender for the WWE Championship. He won a six-pack challenge. This man beat Bray Wyatt, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, AJ Styles, and John Cena. I'm talking about the show-off, Dolph Ziggler.
What?
The number one contender.
This is the first time I've heard this.
I'm being serious. I thought so.
Boy, we just finished talking about him getting thrown to the dogs here, and they might be giving him a chance. If this is Shane McMahon, or if this is Daniel Bryan, thank you.
It's probably more just Triple H and Vince McMahon. As from what I know, Daniel Bryan and Shane have no actual, like, they're just playing characters.
Okay.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Whoever made the decision, it is very peculiar. I like it because it's different. I'm not saying he needs to win.
Unexpected.
Yeah. Him and Ambrose probably haven't wrestled in a while. I'm trying to think. I know they did when he was in the Shield for sure. But since then, I don't know if they've wrestled that much. So it's a relatively fresh matchup. It's a huge opportunity for Ziggler just to remind people, you know,
how good he is.
How good he is, right? I kind of wish I'd watched the show and I'd understand, like, man, how did it build up to this? But
especially after Dolph Ziggler's been squash after squash after squash, yeah, after squash.
I guess if you look at it, it makes sense. Cruz and Corbin are probably a little too raw.
Definitely too raw.
Bray Wyatt is going to go off and do his own thing. Bray Wyatt's a guy you can have him feud with. And he always seems to find some bizarre reason to feud with whoever. You know, the reasons aren't always convincing or particularly interesting, but he finds a way. And Styles and Cena are probably going to have a rubber match. I guess they'd be counting Styles won the first one at Money in the Bank, and then Cena won the six-man tag.
But he cheated.
Did he?
He did.
But then why wasn't he disqualified, Pop?
Because it's wrestling.
That's right. So he didn't cheat. And they're probably going to have what is essentially a rubber match at SummerSlam. I guess they would say it's 1-1, even though Cena won a tag match. But he did pin Styles, so it's the same thing. And I thought that, by the way, that was a very clever way for him to get his win back, which in a multi-tag match, because it didn't make Styles look too bad, but Cena gets his win. Very smart. We're calling that WWE. I can't remember the last time we called WWE smart so many times in the show.
No, and it was a good place to fit in Enzo and Big Cass.
Oh, man. What a rub. What a rub. What a rub they get from being in an event like that with Cena and Styles, but also, you know, them helping Cena not get booed sometimes. And
I'm not going to do an impression.
No, please don't. Hey, do you want to try a couple of haters again?
Haters?
Couple of haters.
Couple of haters.
We got a couple of haters. Couple haters.
You got to add a little grit to it.
How you doing?
You got to add a little grit to your voice.
Oh, give me a break.
A couple of haters.
His timing is fantastic.
Your soft, velvety voice. That's right. You have a beautiful, soft, velvety voice, and it's hard to. I think it's hard for you to do.
I was about to go through 15 curse words right now just to get off of it, all right?
But yeah, look, I'll just say everyone was worried. This was the first three-day stretch that everyone worries about. Like, what's it going to be like to watch the WWE when there's a pay-per-view and a Raw and a SmackDown? There's over 8 hours of WWE programming. Obviously, I didn't make it. I didn't watch SmackDown. I watched five and of the potential 8 hours, and I won't be doing that again, by the way. This was strictly because we were recording this week. So I even with this homework assignment, I didn't make it. I got like a C. So for those of you out there who are able to watch all three programs and are probably watching NXT tonight and probably watching the Cruiserweight, you know, challenge tonight.
Oh, yeah, because it doesn't end on Tuesday nights.
No.
There's still NXT Wednesday.
Yes. And then I think TNA Impact is moving to Thursdays now. So those of you who, you know, are not just exclusive to watching WWE stuff, you enjoy your Impact, which is, I don't know if it's moving this week, but definitely moving soon. And again, more power to you. You know, we said at the beginning of the show, man, there is a lot of wrestling in the world today.
It's a lot of good wrestling.
Yeah, there's we should mention, well, there was a Smash Wrestling show this past weekend.
With Chikara.
It was Chikara. And while neither of us could attend, I just want to say it was the last Smash Wrestling show for Mr. Wrestling, Johnny Gargano.
I'm not sure.
I think it was.
Okay, because I heard that he was his last independent show was in November, so I was kind of hoping that there'd be another show or two in between.
I don't think he's going to make it. I think the Cruiserweight stuff is taking up some of his time. Other NXT responsibilities as well. But
big props again, right?
We just want to say thank you to Johnny Gargano. The man is just an incredible wrestler. In the brief time that I've just got to say hello, seems to be very good with the fans. Guys like that, really, as talented as they are, they don't make it to where they, to this level that he's at now without being good to the fans. And you can tell, at least on the surface, I don't know him personally, but on the surface, man, he seems like a good dude.
He's good tweeter as well, and you should read his email to the fans explaining in terms of him.
Oh, yes.
The independent show.
Yep, and I'm sure there are many fans all around the world who've had the pleasure of getting to watch Johnny at some sort of smaller show. And I hope everyone appreciates, all the hard work he's put in, and we'll be rooting for him to, have success. If not win the Cruiserweight Classic, just to have success in the WWE and NXT in general. Just a really, really, really strong talent. But
and hope to get to him and his future wife. Candice LeRae.
Yes, Candice. I think they all got married. I think I'm married.
They
I don't
married?
Think it's future anymore. I think it's locked. I think he locked that down.
Good move. who is also a phenomenal wrestler in her own very right.
Yes.
And to watch the two of them wrestle each other, to me, has been one of my top five matches
yes,
of all time.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, anyone who hasn't seen those, there's a match on YouTube where those before Smash Wrestling, and then also please look for the show. Look at the Smash Wrestling show that they wrestled on. Definitely, I would say download that as well. Support your independent wrestling, as always. As we will be doing, hopefully, in October. I don't know if we'll have a chance to record between now and then. Hopefully, we will. But if we don't, we will mention that October 23rd, The Legend of Smash at the Franklin Horner Community Center in Etobicoke, Ontario, will be welcoming the hottest free agent in the business, the hottest independent worker in the business right now, I would say, Cody Rhodes.
I thought it was Stardust. Just
They're
kidding.
They're not the same person.
Just
I don't know what
kidding.
You mean. Stardust is still employed by the WWE.
Part of a different dark matter universe.
Yeah. Stardust went back to his home planet.
No, he became the belt, right? The universe
yeah.
belt.
Yeah. That's what I'm his every time I see that belt, I'm thinking he's possessed it.
I can't wait to see him live. I've never had the opportunity. Yes. And that should be great. And
he will apparently go ahead, sorry.
Oh no.
I'll say he'll apparently be wrestling the man himself and also a WWE Cruiserweight championship tournament participant. The man, Tyson Dukes. He's the man who's wrestled literally everyone on the planet, I think.
Textbook Tyson.
Textbook Tyson, the cyborg, you know, whatever you want to call him. But he's definitely one of the men they go to when they bring in a big star to see if that star's really got what it takes to hang on the local scene. They send him in there with Tyson, and Tyson puts him through the paces. So
exactly.
That's going to be a great match. Tyson Dukes, Cody Rhodes. I'm not sure if they've announced other matches. I think they have, but off the top of my head, I cannot recall them. But definitely October 23rd, anyone... I believe VIP tickets are sold out. I know because we have some of them.
All right.
Yes, and but I believe they do still have tickets available. General admission. Check it out. Go support your local wrestling. If not Smash Wrestling, whatever's near you. There's wrestling all over the place. There was a beautiful piece in the Toronto Star recently about Cody Deaner.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
It was wonderful.
You
tweeted
that
up. I believe Katie Dobbs. Sorry, Katie, if I get your name wrong. I think it was Katie Dobbs or at K Dobbs on Twitter. If you want to look her stuff up. But yeah, she wrote a very nice piece about Cody Deaner, who you saw.
Yes.
Live. Not too long ago.
A couple
ago.
Of times, actually.
Oh, you've seen him a couple times, yeah.
Yep.
And, Cody's always making Canada proud.
Smash also has an event this Saturday.
Yes. They have several events
coming
up, actually.
I believe it's in Oshawa. And for those of you that are of age, adult beverages will be served.
Oh, my. It's called Smash Wrestling Uncensored.
Uncensored.
19 plus.
Mike Rollins versus Courtney Rush.
I don't know if
Smash Brothers versus the Overdogs. Brent Bax.
Your boy Jackson O'Shea. Jarvis will be there. Did you know that?
I was going to say,
how did
you
know?
The professional Jackson Jarvis.
Yeah, July 30th, this Saturday at the Oshawa Music Hall in Oshawa, Ontario. 19. I don't know if I feel comfortable advertising this on our show. This is a kid's show. The show's for the kid, 19 plus. Kids, sorry, you can't go to the show. But if your parents are listening, by all means, get
and
the babysitter.
And if you are listening there, then in the words of the almighty Nelson from The Simpsons,
no, that see, that's better. Stick
thank
to
you,
that. That's good.
You, thank
that,
you.
That you nailed.
We got a couple haters.
But Smash Wrestling also, Super Showdown 4 on August 21st. Chavo Guerrero will be there. And then a couple of smaller shows, Smash versus Progress Wrestling. I believe
from British,
Zach,
right? Yep.
Yeah, and I believe Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be there. Don't quote me on that. I'm not an official Smash Wrestling employee, so I cannot, anything I say, don't hold it against them if I get it wrong. But I believe independent star and WWE Cruiserweight Classic participant, another one, Zack Sabre Jr. is supposed to be in attendance. And then another show, September 22nd, Fanshawe College. So,
and then if you look a few months out, what's coming to Toronto from the WWE?
Is it the Survivor Series?
I believe Survivor
Goodness
Series
gracious.
Is in Toronto, which we also have tickets for.
We do?
Oh.
I hope I'm in there.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm in there.
Uh-oh.
I think Connor asked me.
He better have.
Hopefully I'm going. So now I don't know if I'm going. Hopefully if I'm going, all I want is at least one classic Survivor Series match, and there's no reason for them not to now that they have the SmackDown
so
Raw split. It just please, have one women's one, have one men's one.
Would it be Raw versus SmackDown?
Yeah.
I think so. I think they'll have a good one, right? Oh my God. I don't know you might have a chance to see Alexa Bliss.
I'm not even gonna pretend. Because again, one, I'm not even sure if I'm going.
He's crying, folks. He's crying. There's just tears coming down his eyes.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Alexa, if you're listening, you're the woman.
Listening.
You're the woman. You're gonna be a big star someday. No one needs me to say that. I think anyone who's seen her work will tell you the same thing, but That's all I got, Pop. I think I just there's actually a lot more I want to talk about, but there's only so many hours in the day.
I think we did a phenomenal job in getting whatever we could and shoehorned it into an hour's worth of time.
Tried to. I feel like we haven't lost a step, but
I have.
It was great to be back in the booth. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is for all our loyal listeners out there. You know who you are. Get back to watching more wrestling.
It's been fun, my friend. Mm-hmm.